You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Well, this Sunday is Vision Sunday, so we're talking about the vision, what God has laid upon our hearts. We had one at the beginning of the year, and we're just refreshing to reset, and it's all about families. I want to talk about building strong families. If we want to take a community, a city, a nation for God, it's about families. Jesus came for families. And I'm not just talking about husband and wife and siblings. Beyond that, your uncles, aunts, everybody, but also your spiritual family. Amen? Spiritual family. Sometimes our spiritual home, we're closer to the brothers and sisters in church than what we are to our own family. Amen? But many families are experiencing challenges. Let me see your hand. Many families are experiencing challenges. Homes are in disarray. There's confusion. There's anger. There's fighting. There's a lot of things going on in families. So we have to be alert. Amen? The Bible teaches us in John 10, verse 10, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came that we might have life and life in abundance. That's what God has planned for you and your family. But a great family, a good family, a healthy family does not just happen. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of praying, a lot of sacrifice. Many of us want to build great families, strong families. But if you're looking to the past the whole time, if you're looking at what's hurt you and broken you, how can you build a whole family? Because most people have got some sad song when it comes to the past and families. The fact that you've gone through a divorce does not mean it's all over. God gives us a second chance. God still has not changed His mind concerning families, that He wants to plan and give good things for you. I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Turn to the person next to you and say, God has planned good things for your family. So it's important that we understand these things, or understand the pattern. But I can tell you one thing. If you want a happy and good family, you cannot invite the negativity of the past into the positive family world or environment that you want to create and build for the future. Amen? Proverbs 24, verse 3 says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. So you need skill and you need wisdom, godly wisdom. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. Men, we need a lot of understanding, just with our wives, understanding with our children, and vice versa. Can I just have one amen from... It cannot just be pastors that write these tests. Amen. And by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Listen to me. A family, a marriage, community, a church. Marriage is not this big gift that you get and all of these great things are on the inside. Some of you think, if I can just get married, I'm going to be happy. Marriage is an empty house with empty rooms, nothing inside. You walk in and you decide what you want to put in each room. You fill those rooms with beautiful gifts, with kindness, with joy, with long-suffering. That's why you always have to allow. Yes, give the Lord a hand. That's why you always have to allow the Word of God to become the standard for you when it comes to relationships. There are so many things on social media about relationships. Some of the advice that people are giving is wrong and wicked and evil. From a natural point of view, it might sound good. But this is the standard for our lives. Amen? Amen. Listen to me. Just think about this. I quoted John 10:10. In the same way, God wants life and life in abundance in your marriage, in your relationships. The devil has got one assignment. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. As God wants the very best for you, to experience life and life in abundance, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy in your relationship. Turn to the person next to you and say, be alert. Be alert. God is deeply interested, committed. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to come and restore relationship. In the same way, he is committed to care, to love, to build up, to encourage, for every room to be filled with beautiful things. The devil wants to fill those rooms with ugly things: hatred, bitterness, anger, jealousy, strife. Turn to the person next to you and say, be alert. You know, when you as a parent, as a husband, make a decision and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Listen to me, there's nobody that's perfect. Turn to the person next to you and say, nobody's perfect. You know, when I was growing up as a child, I thought, one day I'm going to do it better than my dad. Until you're a dad, then you suddenly think, yo, my dad actually did a great job. The truth. From where they come, they try to do their very best. But the Bible says that Job was a blameless man. That means he wasn't perfect. He tried to do things right. He was blameless. He was upright. The Bible said he feared God. To fear God is to hate sin. Turn to the person next to you and say, hate sin. And the Bible said he shunned evil. That was his position before God. And God even boasted about him. And we should all try and be like that. But Job 1 verse 10 says then, have you not made a hedge around him? This is the devil speaking. The devil says, you've placed a hedge around him. Fathers, listen to me. This is a good prayer to pray for your families. Mothers, pray this prayer. Lord, thank you that you've placed a hedge around my family, around him and all his household, and around all that he has on every side. So this is what God does. He places protection upon you, upon your household, your family, and everything around you, everything that's linked to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's worth it to be born again. You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land. This is what God does for us. And Satan hates it. Why? Why does he hate you so much? Because you are made in the image and likeness of God. You were designed from the beginning to walk with God, to plan with God, to talk with God. And he does not have that. And he hates you for that. Turn to the person next to you and say, the devil is not your friend. Think about this, family. The devil cannot show love, cannot show kindness, cannot give joy. He can maybe bring some things into your life that brings happiness, but he cannot bring joy. Cannot love. Cannot love. And we are children of love. You are born of love. You've got the ability to love the way that God loves. As a matter of fact, faith works through love, and our faith has overcome the world. So where's the first place the enemy will attack? Love. The second command, somebody told me now recently, there's first two commands given the most in the Bible. The first one is do not fear. The second one is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. The instruction is to love. So where will the enemy attack? Your love. Because if your love is gone, then your faith cannot be strong. Satan has no love, no joy, no kindness. So he wants to attack you with those things. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, you are born of love. When you are born again, you are born of love. It's incredible just to think about it. If you know how much the devil hates you, you will just focus on love. How much love you've got. Amen? It's a love walk. When somebody wants to cut you off in the while you're driving to work and you're in a hurry, and you let him go first, what is that? You're demonstrating love. When you're on that route of anger. Watch what you fill the rooms in your heart with. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us. When you are born of love, it's the love of God that compels us. The ESV says, for the love of Christ controls us. Are you controlled by love? When you are born of love, you are controlled by love. The King James says, for the love of Christ constrains us. When you love somebody, you keep yourself back. You're careful what you say. The Passion Translation says, "For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us." As a born-again Christian, listen to me. We're talking about Vision Sunday. Everything we do should be motivated by love, because that's how God operates. For God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't give to show His love. He first loved, then He gave. Turn to the person next to you, say, "You're a product of love." When a family is together and a family is loving each other, it's one of the most powerful things on this planet, and the devil knows it, and that's why he attacks families. That's why he wants to break down love. So turn to the person next to you and say, "I love you." Turn to the person on the other side and say, "Jesus even loves you more." So when a family is together and there's unity, where two or more agree upon anything as they touch, it will be. A husband and a wife praying, there's nothing more powerful than that, amen? To pray. Matter of fact, the Bible warns husbands and says, make sure your relationship with your wife is right, because it can hinder your prayers. It teaches us your relationship with God depends far more on your relationship with the people around you. So many of you that think, "Yes, I don't feel as close to God as I always was," go check the relationship with the people around you. Say, "Hey, no." The Bible teaches us our spiritual family, where two or more agree upon anything, that it will be done. Amen? Everything should be motivated by love. Go look at this. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 2, verse 23. The first family was attacked. Everything is about unity, to be of one mind, one heart, one spirit. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Protect the unity." Many times it's through what we say that we break the unity. A simple word that we say that brought division. The Bible says, by means of a whisperer, best of friends are separated. Be careful when you just whisper and say something. Genesis 2 verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So this is about him acknowledging and saying, "She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." He saw us as his equal. Amen? When you go look at the book of Ephesians, it talks about husband and wife, Christ and the body of Christ. So when I'm talking about the family, I'm talking about the family that we have here, your family here on earth, but also your spiritual family. So when we are born again, we become one with God. His nature becomes our nature. And we have to protect that relationship the whole time, protect that peace on the inside. So this is what happened. They're in unity. He says, "You're bone of my bone, you're flesh of my flesh. I'm going to leave my father." He says, "Leave your father and your mother, be joined to her." They became one, protect the unity. Turn to the person next to you, say, "Protect the unity." Let me hear all the husbands say, "Protect the unity." Listen, men, we've got wisdom for everything, but we need godly wisdom to protect our marriages, to protect the family, to protect people that God has placed around you. And this is so interesting. Look what happens here. When Adam had sinned and God came to him, he asked him a simple question: "What have you done?" And you think, "What have you done?" would have a simple answer. But if you push a man in a corner when he's done something wrong and you ask him, "What have you done?" he wants to back out of it very quickly. Look what Adam said. "Men, listen. Ladies, listen." Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." What have you done, Adam? It was simple. Can I tell you something? He should have, number one, protected his wife here, and he didn't. The Bible says she was deceived, but he sinned. Gentlemen, listen to me, and please don't use this, don't use the word of God now as a weapon against your wife and your husband. "Yeah, you're the one that's always deceived. Yeah, but you're the one that sinned." And then we say, "Oh God, but you gave it to me." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Take responsibility." What was his responsibility? He came and he said, but God, she did it. And just for the record, you gave it to me. It's the nature of man. Let's take responsibility. I remember the once we were having lunch and there was a 2-liter bottle on the table and I was too busy and I bumped it over and the cap was not on and the Coke spilled everywhere. You know what my response was? Who put the Coke there and who didn't put the cap on? And afterwards I thought, yes, Lord, I'm not behaving like Adam. Please forgive me. It's not who put, I bumped it over. So if we can get to a place where we just say, Lord, give me wisdom, not to blame those around me, but to take responsibility. He destroyed their relationship physically and spiritually when he blamed her, and he was supposed to take responsibility and protect her. Let us men take the responsibility, as leaders take the responsibility. What happened? Joshua, look at Joshua. As a leader, what did he say? In Joshua 24, let's go there quickly. You know, it's easy to talk about leadership, good or bad. But as leaders, we have to take responsibility and we have to lead. Joshua 24 verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It takes a father, it takes a leader to make a declaration and say, we as a family in this community, we're going to serve God. Listen to me, what we tolerate in our lives, our children will accommodate. Listen to me, it's not that he was ignorant that he did not know about the idols in the people's homes. He said, as for me and my family, we're not going to do that. I say, I know you've got idols in your house. Make a decision and get those things which are not approved by God out of your life. We have to ask ourselves, what is in my life? It's not here to condemn us. It's here for us to draw closer to God. Can I have an amen? Amen. You know what's in your life, what's in your house that's taking you away from God? Parents, you cannot tell your children to come to church and you don't come to church. You cannot go do shopping on a Sunday morning and then drop your kids off here and we must teach them about Jesus. Children don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. So if you only bring them to church once a month, when they grow up, they're probably going to go to church once a term. And their children will go to church once a year. Is that the legacy that you want? Joshua said, listen, as for me and my house, I'm going to let this legacy of serving God and putting God first, I'm going to let it continue by leading by example. A leader that says, no more idols in my house. Everything which is not approved by heaven, out. It's a commitment to a whole family. You know, and you run your own house the way that you want to. But Belinda and myself, we decided from a young age, when the children had birthday parties on a Sunday, they could go to a birthday party on a Sunday, but it was the 2 o'clock party. If it was a 10 o'clock party, it was no baby. No, Jaden, you're in church, and afterwards we'll take you. That's what we did. And my children today, even when we're on holiday, they'll go to church. Church is not an option. You know, my wife played something to me about a guy that got in heaven. And he saw Moses, and he said, Moses, you're the one who stretched out your hand, and the water opened. And the burning bush, and you drew closer. I said, yes. Oh, Daniel, you were with the lions. And God shut their mouths. Oh, wow. Joseph. And then I said, what about you? I went to church once a month, and when it was a Rugby World Cup, I went to the sports bar. I did pray for the Springboks to win, but that's my testimony. That's not going to be our testimony, family. We're, Joshua made a decision to say, I'm going to reach up and touch the heart of God. I'm going to reach in and let God touch my heart. And I'm going to reach out and touch the heart of a community. We are here to make a difference in this world. Amen? Turn to the person that you say you're going to make it. He was not just a father, he was a leader, and he was leading by example, saying, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to pitch up, and I'm going to do those small things week in and week out to lead my family. I shared with the leaders yesterday, I said, "It's when we say reach up, we're saying, I'm praying. Are you praying? Are you having time where you speak to God? You have to sometimes close the closet. Not just, you know, super fast car prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Family, come on, get in the car. Let's pray. Drive to work, to school. And you actually have some time where you say, God, I can close the door and you can be still and know that God is God. And he can speak to you and you're not just speaking to him. He knew their weaknesses, but he said, I'm here to help. I'm here to lead by example. I'm here to show you. Amen? Turn to the person next to you, say you're going to make it. You know, we have to learn from the Word of God. We have to make this the standard for our lives so that God can take us as a family from where we are to where we want to be. Here's the secret. Listen to me, family. It's impossible to be a good father, to be a good mother in your family, in the community, in a church without the help of the Holy Spirit. The devil came to destroy the first family. How did he do it? How did he do it? He came to Eve, and that's what he will do with you as well. How did he do it? He said, just touch it. Just taste it. Just eat it. You'll see you'll be okay. It's not going to affect you. Sometimes we have to be careful what we touch, what we allow our children to touch. What sip we want to take. Because not just the sip that you take, it's the example that you give. Hey, no, I don't like that. His tactic is still the same today. He's just much more clever. He's got this. Check your children's screen time. Check what they are watching. People say, no, won't happen. Listen to me, I've told people this. I've gone on spiritual pilgrimages where I'm just thinking about Jesus and I'm just going to focus on God. And a guy sits next to me on the airplane and he takes out his phone. He says, look here. I say, sus, man. Not, oh, let me see. I'll ask Jesus for forgiveness later. Sanctify my mind, Lord, please. No. Don't take the sip. Don't take the look. Because that thing might just be a fish hook in your mind and pulls you in the wrong direction. A Christian family baptized in the Holy Spirit, where Jesus is the center, is the hope of this community, is the hope of this nation. So don't let situation or circumstances mold you. Amen? But allow Christ to be formed on the inside. If you go look at 2 Timothy 3, it warns us. It warns us to say to us, this is what the last days will look like. Do you know people will become unloving, unholy, unforgiving? Ask yourself, how quickly do you forgive? Or have you been caught up in this stream of doing things the way it will be in the last days? How quickly do you forgive? Is it 1 day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months? Ooh, that's a very quiet like. Family, listen to me. If you're not prepared to forgive, then you're filling your rooms with bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness. I'm saying to you, put God first. You're saying to me, Pastor B, you've got no idea what goes on in my family. You've got the perfect little family, but in my family, no. Do we want to manifest the love of God because His ability has been given to us? Paul says, forgive as Christ has forgiven, or are we going to forgive like the world? I'm going to forgive you, but I'm just going to keep my black book. Family, the challenges that you are facing in your family right now, guess what? It was in biblical times as well. Go to the book of Micah. Let me read it to you. Micah 7 verse 5. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. From her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. For sons treats fathers contemptuously. Daughters rises up against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy are the men of his own household. Can I tell you something? The person that makes you the most angry could be the person in your house. But you still have the responsibility to manifest the love of God in that situation. Because God has made us to be different. That's why He gave us His Holy Spirit. We don't fight fire with fire. Turn to the person next to you and say, you don't fight fire with fire. When they curse you, you bless them. When they despitefully use you, you pray for them. We don't run away. We go and forgive. You know what's the interesting thing? I mean, I'm preaching today on strong families. And even before the service, I said, okay, families, come together. Let's reconcile. Let's say sorry. Because that's what families do. They forgive. Turn to the person next to you and say, forgive. You know, in the same book of Micah, listen to me. In the same book of Micah, the Lord speaks through Micah to the people. He says, what does the Lord require of you? Micah 6 verse 8, just put it up quickly. He says, what does the Lord require of you? Turn to the person next to you and say, this is what God requires of you in your family. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? Turn to the person next to you and say, this is what the Lord requires of you. Number one, to do justly. So listen to me. Can I just speak to parents? Be fair and just when it comes to your children. Don't favor one more than the other. Because the one is more like you, you like them more. And then the other one who's like, I'm not going to get myself in trouble and say, who's more like your mother in grace. And maybe you separate it. Now you angry with that child or don't treat that child fairly because they remind you of your spouse that left you. Come on. Be justly. Be fair. Have a heart for what is right. A joke that's blameless, that's upright, that fears God, that shuns evil. And teach your children those things. He says, love mercy. Ooh, you know how important that is? You know, sometimes somebody can be merciful. I almost jumped down. Let me just jump down. Sorry, cameras. I can be merciful to him and say, oh, so good to see you. Yeah, you're sitting in the front. And I'm greeting. I say, oh, merciful. Oh, you're sitting in the front. But in my heart, I'm thinking, what the hell are you doing in the front row? It's not really true. You know I want you here. He's my friend. Amen. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, love mercy. Love. When you show mercy, love mercy. Like God shows mercy. David prayed, Lord, deal with me according to your mercy. And not the sins of my youth. So check your heart. Sometimes you do the right thing with your children. You show mercy. But you think, this flippant child again. Am I talking to the right people? Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Let me run up here. Turn to the person next to you and say, love mercy. And then he says, walk humbly with your God. Can I say something? Parents, listen to me. It's important that we walk in humility and sincerity before the Lord in everything that we do. The Bible says wives should submit to their husbands. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. Not because she's weaker, because Adam said she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It's because somebody has to take the lead. And the Bible says that submission is a wife's gift to her husband. But do you know the Bible also says submit one to another in the fear of the Lord? Do you know what that means? It means the fear of the Lord is to hate sin. It means if my wife comes to me and say, listen, the way you shouted and screamed at our child, I don't do that, okay? I'm just using it as an example. But if she comes to me and says, I think the way that you did it was wrong. The Bible says this is the right way. And she helps me. I don't say, listen here, who's the head of the house? You don't tell me, I tell you. We walk humbly because then we teach our children to walk humbly. Otherwise, they will become arrogant like we are arrogant. And when you have pride in your heart, in all your behavior, it's very dangerous. Because then as a father, you cannot draw close to God. Because God resists the proud. But He shows mercy, grace to the humble. When family members become enemies, it's not a time for us to fight, but it's a signal in the spirit that it's time for spiritual warfare and for you to pray and intercede for your family. And to find a brother and a sister that can agree with you so that you can pray over that matter. Not gossip about it, pray about it. Am I talking to the right people here? Because sometimes certain prayer meetings are more gossip meetings than what they are prayer meetings. Where we want to address things in the spirit and deal with it once and for all. Do you know what's the difference between a prayer meeting and a gossip meeting? Prayer meeting is where you can take the word of God and you declare the word of God over that situation so that change can come. A gossip meeting is, oh Lord, we just want to bring Johnny before you again. Oh, we know the bottle and him are friends for so long, oh Lord. And when the bottle comes, oh Lord, then you know the fighting comes, oh Lord. And oh, he, that's not praying for him, that's gossiping about him, amen? Turn to the person that you say, don't gossip, pray. The Bible says, this is the will of God, that you rejoice, that you pray without ceasing, and you give thanks to God in everything. Say, thank God that Johnny will serve you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you disconnect him from everything that the enemy has used to link himself to him. And declare heaven's report over him, not gossip about the man. You know, Satan desperately wants to block families to be godly so that your legacy cannot continue. But as we just come, even if you come from a broken home, you can be the one to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. It's a decision that you make. Let me tell you something. You know, we've married 32 years this year, and she'll tell you. To be married, I'm Afrikaans background, she's an English background, she's from the Free State, I'm here from Pretoria. It was potato, potato, tomato, tomato. But when you put God at the center, you can make it work. Your home remains strong when your relationship with God remains strong. That's the thing that saved our marriage, when we put God at the center and say, God, it's all about you. Holy Spirit, fill me, help me, change me. Not me trying to change her, but saying, God, you change me so that I can be a better husband. And she's praying, Lord, change me to become a better wife. And today we almost think the same, talk the same. It's like if you talk to her, you're talking to me. If you're talking to me, you're talking to her. That's what 32 years of putting Jesus at the center will do to you. Amen. Paul says this beautiful thing. He says in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. I like that. You should declare that. Let me say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Be with me, be with you, and be with my family. Family, listen to me. If we have an attitude that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with me, love God, the love of God the Father, and the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, when I'm aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, my behavior will be different towards my friends. My behavior will be different towards my spouse. What I say, if I want to talk to somebody now and they've made me angry, and I think, oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit is here with me, even in this conflict situation, God's wisdom will lead and guide you. I'm not saying become weak. If you go to Micah 6, it says justly, then mercy. So when somebody doesn't do their work, it's not just, ah, mercy, it's fine, just do what you want to know. Just, you had a commitment, I'm going to keep you accountable, you had to do it. You can now come and say, this happened and my car broke or whatever, and you can show mercy. But if you show mercy without being just, you'll become weak. And then the gospel becomes watered down. And people say, oh, why do you like that? Show mercy. No, justly, mercy, humbly with God. Then to the person next, you say, that's helped me a lot. Say, I'm going to solve a problem at work tomorrow. Because sometimes people just come to you and say, you just have to show mercy. Yes, we show mercy, but we also justly. Amen? So the nature of the devil is to kill, steal, and destroy. God has come to bring life and life in abundance for you. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit to be different. I'm going to close with this. What happened when Jesus faced his biggest challenge, when Jesus was going to be killed? What happened? When Jesus was going to be killed, what happened? A woman walked in and anointed him. And when they said, why has this been wasted? What is this anointing about? He said, she's anointed me for my burial. What was he saying? He was saying, she's anointed me for the challenge that lies ahead so that I can do what I have to do. Die, but after that death, there'll be resurrection. Amen? Who of you have been experiencing some killing, stealing, and destroying in your family? Who of you would like a fresh anointing to face all those things? That's exactly what we're going to do. If you say like a Joshua, I'm going to be obedient. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I'm telling you, when we anoint you, like David, the Bible says, when he got anointed, the Holy Spirit remained with him. It might be an outward sign, but what we want is we want through your obedience that the Holy Spirit would remain so that God can be that hedge of protection around you and your family and all your affairs and everything that's linked to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, the secret is God's presence. Why? Because when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, His ability becomes your ability. It's not just an outward sign, but it's something that happens on the inside. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.